The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled. Today's guest is somebody who you would know behind the scenes and the work that she has produced over the last, I'm going to say nine years for myself, the board, my recipe books and everything else has been because of her. Now, she is the absolute queen behind all of our design, recipe books, app, keeping myself sane, everything in between. Jess is my in-house designer and has been for a very, very long time. And I've known Jess, for years. So welcome to Flourish and Fulfilled, Jess.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited that Jess is here. She's actually in the studio with me today and she's from Melbourne. So we're up here working on something really exciting for the BOD branding as a
whole.
Don't
you dare say it.
I know. Okay. I ruined like every surprise or every secret or every launch.
I almost don't want to tell you what's going on.
So we need to work backwards here.
Yeah, literally.
And today I know that this episode will be such an impactful episode for so many women out there. And I think it's a topic that we need to discuss more of. And it's more been one that I have wanted to have you in the studio for. So it's going to be really, really, really good. But before we get started, I just want to ask you some fire questions so that people at home can get to know you just a little bit more.
Let's do it.
All right. How old are you?
29. 30 next month.
she literally choked on the
first
question.
Yeah, I was like, oh God, how old am I?
What's your favourite food?
Mexican.
Do you have an alter ego name?
No.
We'll have to give it one. Frank Tank. Jess can sink alcohol like no one else. The nights that we have, if this was going on a podcast of like the nights that we've had out together, they've always ended up very messy.
Oh, thanks. Sorry. I don't know what to say.
Sunrise or sunset?
Ooh, sunrise.
What is your favourite swear word?
Probably fuck.
Everyone says that. Mm. I'm waiting for the day that someone just drops the C-bomb.
Sometimes I do say the C-bomb and Jack yells at me, so it's bad. It's not a nice word.
No, it's not. But yeah.
It's sometimes very necessary.
What is your weird quirk?
I can twist my tongue upside down.
Okay. this is tricky.
The
listeners at home cannot see this, but I believe she can actually turn her tongue to look like it's not upside down. That is definitely a good weird quirk. Hidden talent. Other than the weird tongue trick.
I don't think I have one.
Well, that's a pretty good talent. That's how I get my boyfriend.
Yeah. It definitely was.
What is your most used emoji?
Oh, probably the laughing, crying face.
Yeah, okay. Worst word in the English dictionary?
M-O-I-S-T.
You're the third person on this podcast that doesn't like the word moist.
It's actually gross or discharge.
Discharge? I'm like discharge queen, so I say it so much. It's not. Your vagina is cleaning itself. It is not yuck. How amazing is that? We don't even, it's like self-cleaning.
The word, what it means isn't gross. It's just the word itself.
Would you rather have dicks as fingers or a dick as a nose?
Probably fingers.
Why?
That's a good question. I don't know.
When I asked Andrew this question, he was like, just so that I can poke, and I was like, you're a dentist, dude. Imagine having 10
dicks. Yeah,
actually,
it means I couldn't work. I don't know. Maybe as dick as a nose. People just touch it all the time.
That's exactly what you want in your life.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into today's episode. So you're 29, you're almost 30.
Yes.
And we were away at Noosa and you got some news, which was kind of, I'll let you tell the story. However, let's go back a step.
Mm.
In relation to your hormones, your contraception, your sexual health, everything like that. Can we kind of go back a step and explain whether you were on the pill, everything, all the way through?
Yeah. Well, it started, to be honest, this whole journey's probably started like 10 years ago, back when I was in high school. I was getting lots of stomach issues. All my doctors thought it was gynecological.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hard to explain, but
we'll get there.
I'm still there. but this whole time, or pretty much through high school, I was on the pill as pretty much everyone is at that age. And then I moved to the UK. I actually stopped taking the pill just because I was lazy. Came back, got on the Mirena because my periods got really heavy. And then my stomach issues were still happening. I had two laparoscopies, endoscopies, breath testing, blood testing. What else have I had? Pretty much every testing under the sun at that point except a colonoscopy, and nothing had come up. One of my laparoscopies did say I had a ruptured cyst, but they're like, oh, we just got rid of it, so all good. But the stomach issues kept happening, and it's almost gotten progressively worse as I've gotten older. Mm-hmm. I probably took 2 or 3 years off trying to find answers because it's very draining. Emotionally, financially, and physically draining.
Yeah.
The medical gaslighting is relentless.
Yeah.
I'm going to be point blank there. It's so bad. No one listens to you, especially with the stomach issue. They're like, oh, you've got a period, whatever. You have to be in pain. So it came more, when was it, last year?
It would have been, about March last year.
So the end of 2020, I was venting to my cousin Mimi, and her best friend's mum is Dr. Lynn Burmeister, who's like, she owns number one fertility in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. She's one of the best IVF doctors in the world, and she's also a gynae, obviously. So she's like, how about I just get you her number and you can go see her straight away? I was like, I'm not going to get in for like 4 weeks because you just can't get into her at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, I text her. She's like, come in on Monday. And it was like 3 days later. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So I went and saw her, and she asked me all the questions under the sun, pretty much every question that I've been asked before. And she's like, I'm going to do pretty much every single blood test. And I got like 12 vials of blood. I had an ultrasound before that previously with my other gynae, and she actually couldn't find my left ovary. She's like, oh, have you had surgery before? Because she knew that I'd had surgeries, laparoscopies and stuff. She's like, have you had your ovary removed? I was like, I think I would have told you that. Then I was like, oh my God, my ovary's missing.
Was it up here?
Yeah, it was hiding, hiding behind, I don't know, I had an inflamed bowel at the time.
Yeah.
But Lynn found it within like 30 seconds. Yeah. She's like, nah, all looks good in there. Like, you look fine from the ultrasound. So then the bloods came back. And when I went to get the bloods, I was looking at all the list, you know, because the doctor's writing. I was like, what is this? So I just started Googling while I was in the waiting room. And one of the tests was AMH, which is, I Googled, anti-Müllerian hormone, which is basically your egg reserve.
Yeah.
How many follicles you have, or mm-hmm. how many eggs you have in your bank. You're basically born with the amount of eggs that you will ever have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder why she's testing that. Mm-hmm. But didn't really think anything of it. Had the bloods. Realised then when I was in there, they're like, it's $90 out of pocket for this particular test. And I was like, this is strange. Like, why am I getting this? It's like, whatever. Anyway, so that was back in November 2020. And then I actually completely forgot about all of those tests because I didn't get a call back or anything, and normally you only get a call back if something's wrong. And then, it got to like January of the next year, and I was like, I was actually listening to another podcast. I don't know if you've heard about Chloe Fisher's story. She's got all these fertility issues, and she was talking about the AMHS. I was like, oh, I haven't checked my results of that. I'd just be very interested to see what my number was mm-hmm. or my, you know, where I was in the range. So I actually followed up on the bloods, and they're like, oh, haven't you received your results yet? And I was like, no, obviously not.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got the results back, and my AMH was at 4. And for someone my age at the time, 28, it should be between like 25 and 30-ish.
Yeah.
So my levels at 4 at that time is equivalent to someone that's at 45, like just premenopausal, if not already going through menopause. So I called them back straight away. Well, I actually went to my old gynae because I was like, these people – the fertility clinic didn't actually call me back, so this is strange. It was in red and everything on the blood results.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my gynae, and she looked at it straight away, and I saw in her face. She was just like, uh-oh, kind of. And that's when my heart sunk because I was like, what's going on? Why isn't anyone telling me? Then I started to like, you know, unravel. So then I went back to the fertility clinic, and they were like, there must have been a miscommunication at the fertility clinic because I didn't get told. And then, then I spoke to Lynn, and they suggested that this is when we were in Noosa.
Yeah. So when we were in Noosa, it was it was the first time that you'd really heard the news that you had essentially started early menopause at the age of 28.
Yeah.
And so for you and for all of us, we were just like, this is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like massive. And I guess for the listeners at home, like, what does that mean for you? Do you know what I mean? Like you're 28, you've got no children. How long had you been with Jack at this point? So your partner?
Yeah. Only a year and a half.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
And so.
No. A year.
A year?
Yeah.
It was very early days. You've just been told that you've got early menopause.
6 months.
Yeah, it was.
Sorry.
I was like, six months. Been together for like 6 months.
Yeah.
So the conversations that followed. So let's keep it on track to where we are now. So you just find out we're in Noosa, and potential risks are, what does this mean for you?
Yeah. So basically, if you've got a low AMH count, it just means you've got a low egg count, right? But I just do want to say it doesn't mean that you can't have children. It just means you have less opportunities in the bank. It doesn't mean that they're as quality over quantity, as they always tell you. But basically, it does mean your chances of falling pregnant naturally are dramatically lower than anyone else. And having a lower egg count a lot of the time does suggest that you are going through early menopause, because it means you don't have the follicle stimulating hormone, whatever. You have to do additional testings for that, which at the moment mine does look okay, but I'll get to that in a minute. But Dad did say to me, you either need to have children now or start banking eggs.
And you flew back on, I reckon it was that Monday or Tuesday you started the injections, was that?
Yeah, it was a week later.
Yeah.
But I'd only been with Jack for 6 months, and that conversation is already a yucky conversation to have.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's like, ugh.
So what was that conversation? For listeners at home that have no idea about fertility, you've got four eggs. Like, what does this conversation look like?
I literally just had to be point blank with him, just being like, this is what's happened, or this is what's happening. They've suggested we either have a baby now or I put some eggs on ice or embryos. Embryos is where you obviously get the egg and the sperm and freeze them together. Eggs is obviously just the eggs by itself, and you do the rest later. It's pretty rattling to have that conversation 6 months into, like, because at that point, I mean, I obviously know I love Jack. I still know that I'm going to be with him forever, but it's still a very intense conversation to have with a boyfriend that early or a partner that early. He's thinking about straight away. Like, that's a lot for to even think about that, let alone a guy being like, the fuck, I don't want to have a baby right now.
We were having this conversation yesterday as well. Like, a guy's ever ready? Like, for a woman, we're kind of like, yeah, like, I'd love that, or I would like that. But with a male, and I'm happy to be challenged on this if there's any men out there that are listening, that it's kind of like the process of like, oh, my wife wanted it, or yeah, I'd like to start a family. It's, there's never a perfect time, and that's kind of where that is conversation where it's like, well, is it the right time? Is it not the right time? And then, keep going.
I mean, like, it's hard to say, because as we were talking about yesterday, there's no right time. But back then, I think I would have been actually rushing into something that I wasn't ready for, and I was just doing it because opportunity was there.
Yeah.
And I'd rather, you know, at that time, I was like, I'd rather have a baby naturally than go through IVF, because there is no guarantees with IVF either.
Yeah.
So that's just like, a lot of people say, oh, I'm just going to have a baby by IVF, because that's like, it's just this insurance policy. It's actually so much more complex than that. It's it's like a 40% or lower success rate. So people with a lower egg count, lower AMH, every egg retrieval, you're going to get a lot less eggs retrieved, obviously. But like, so if you were to go in, I don't know what your levels are, but you're intensely infertile.
Don't look at me, because I'll fall pregnant even from you.
Yeah. But if you were, say, for example, if you had normal levels at 28, most people at a normal level would go in, who were just preserving their fertility, would go in and say get probably 30-ish eggs per retrieval, which is great, because Dr. Lynn told me that I would need 20 eggs on ice for 80% chance of one baby. And my first retrieval, I got 5. My second retrieval, I got 4. So I've only got 9 on ice now. So do you know what I mean? That's still a very low chance of even having one child off 9 eggs. Because once they're frozen, once they defrost, it's like a 50% drop-off rate. So let's just say I've got 9. They're going to go down to, let's say, 4.
Yeah.
To then mix them with the sperm to get embryos. They drop off another 50%. So then I'm down to 2.
Yeah.
And then it's 40% chance for that to work.
Yeah.
So I'm basically back to square one.
Yeah.
You know?
And so if you go back to that whole moment in Noosa finding that out, and
that was so fucked.
That whole so trip rattled. Was fucked.
Yeah.
That whole experience, that whole lifetime was fucked.
Fuck Noosa. But now going back.
Well, I had to go back to mentally. Noosa, yeah. And like that whole experience of the bod retreat last time, I had to go back to mentally. Like, I had such bad negative horrible vibes experiences of Noosa that I had to go back to bad juju. Yeah.
Sage Noosa.
And I'm so glad we did that. But finding that out in Noosa, what were the steps that then followed? Because I know that you did go straight back into
So the actual process of freezing. So I actually did a breath work. You got me to do a breath work with Nicola, which was amazing. That was actually amazing to just get your head in a different space, because I was like almost couldn't see straight. It was like what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm going through menopause. This is something that 50-year-old people go through, and I'm 28.
And also as well, like, we didn't know how to support you.
No,
and
because I guess you don't hear about this.
No, and this is why, like, this is so important, and I hope that this podcast has a big impact, because from the outside, like, how would you have best liked to have been supported? Do you know what I mean? Like, how can people support in that situation?
The thing is, I don't think there's anything anyone can say that are going to make you feel better. It's just literally the support of just being like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what do you want to do? Like, do you want to go get an acai bowl, or do you want to go get pissed? Or like, what do you want to, like, anything? Pretty much probably for me, I'm now so much more open in talking about it. I am talking about it openly, because a lot of my friends are like, oh, I didn't even know that you could check your egg count. I didn't even know that you could check your fertility. I don't even want babies now, but why don't I just check it now? So I'm just like, I'm just going to have to keep talking about it. At first, I didn't want to talk about it at all, because I'm like, I'll just cry.
Yeah.
Because every time I'd even look at Jack, I'd be like, I'd literally just well up being like, oh my God, like, now I'm failing Jack because he's not going to be able to have a kid or whatever, you know?
And since, you're not, and since, no. just to slide that in, since that diagnosis as well, the amount of education that you have put out there on Instagram is huge.
Yeah.
And that has been, like, I've learned so much from your stories, from the things that you've been posting, from the did you know facts to just everything in between has been really, really, really good and such a great learning.
Well, even back to just like the difference between eggs, follicles and embryos. Like, my friends that have had babies don't know the difference. Like, that is pretty yuck. why don't women know this?
There's so many podcasts that I wanted to do like early on with Jess, but I wanted you in the studio because it's not the same as being on like Zencaster or anything else. And that conversation that we had early on was that women don't even know their cycles.
Mm.
They don't know when they're ovulating.
Nah.
They don't know what happens. They don't know the process. And the sheer lack of education surrounding that. Like, we're told in schools not to have babies, how not to have babies.
This is what I've said to my friends this whole time. Like, we are, it's drilled into us from the minute that we hit, you know, high school. If you have sex, you're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wish it was that easy. Are you kidding? Like, it's actually such a one night stands are like a genuine miracle. Are you kidding? You know, it's ingrained in us from at such a young age that, you know, if you have sex, you're going to like fall pregnant. And it's actually so much more complex than that.
So the moment you found out, you flew back to Melbourne and the process from there, because I know this, that process emotionally was
the worst.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
So for somebody at home that has no idea what we're talking about, what did you have to do? How many needles a day? Do you remember the medication? Well, obviously you would remember. She had, tell me, sorry, it's not mine.
So flew back to Melbourne and I pretty much got started straight away, because after talking to Jack, obviously it's my decision at the end of the day, but it's our decision. It's our future as well. Just to put some eggs on ice to start with, didn't want to start trying for a baby for at least 12 months at that time, at least, because we wanted to do the house thing first, as a preference, if you want to say. Like, it's strange to think, oh no, I'm not going to have a baby until this date or whatever. It just doesn't work like that. But anyway, so we started, there's many different ways and many different drugs you can take. It's almost like a bit of a game, what the doctors put you with and how your body's going to respond. They don't know. So you pretty much start at the baseline. So for the first 7 or 8 days, I was just injecting once, in the morning, no, at night.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very fine needles, but you have to straight into
your
tiny.
Did you end up adding them as a highlight on your
Yep, I did.
We'll add Jess's Insta into the show notes as well at the end as well, but you can watch her actually doing the videos, which is really great for me to watch. Yeah. So great.
Yeah, so I do the one injection at night, and then once it got to like day 7 or 8, then you start doing one in the morning as well, which is basically antagonists. So they stop you from ovulating. So basically what the needles are doing, they're stimulating you with follicle stimulating hormone. So you, instead of obviously on a normal cycle every month, you and I would just stimulate one egg would get released and whatever. But what this does is just stimulate heaps of follicles to grow, mm-hmm. to be good sized, to get mature. Mm-hmm. And then what the antagonist does is stop you from ovulating. So mm-hmm. It does feel horrible after day 7 or 8 because you're like, when you think about what's going on in there, you're bloating so much. Each follicle gets to like 21 mils or something. That's like what the size they want them to be. So the morning injections stop you from ovulating. And then I went in for a scan. I think it's about day 11 or 12. And they see how your follicles are growing. Mm-hmm. And at that point they could see, I think, about 11, but only like 5 were of good size. So they say of good size is about 18 to 21. It's hard to explain, but yeah, anything below that, they're not mature enough to freeze. Mm-hmm. So they saw from that scan that I just wasn't quite ready for the retrieval yet. So mm-hmm. I went back and did some more injections. And then I think 3 days later I did the trigger injection, which basically tells your body, okay, let all the eggs go. Let's ovulate, mm-hmm. basically. And that was actually this one wasn't in trigger injection. It was in a nasal spray. So how gnarly is that?
Yeah, wow.
It's just like 4 sprays up each nostril. And basically it's so time specific. So I had to do it at 7:10 at night, which meant 7:10 in the morning retrieval, the next morning, not the very next morning, but like 30 hours later or whatever it is. So, and then once you have to do an ovulation test to make sure it's actually worked, to make sure that the trigger has actually worked. And yes, I was ovulating. So then I went you have to go into hospital, it's day surgery. Dollar signs.
Yep. And then also the emotional roller coaster of going in for a scan and finding out that the eggs are not of mature size as well, which was really
and
hard.
And how few there were, because you think, well, from what I've known previously in egg retrievals, people are like, oh, I'm just going to preserve my future, so I'm just going to put 30 eggs on ice and I'll be sweet.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God, there's only 11 there. I was actually so happy with 11 because I thought I was going to get way less.
Yeah.
Which I did. But anyway, so I went into hospital. You get put under. Basically, it's like a really fine needle. They go up through your vagina, through your vaginal wall mm-hmm. to your ovary. They just pretty much like suck all the eggs out and put them in tubes.
Yeah.
It's pretty gnarly. And then just put them in tubes and freeze them. Or the embryologist, I think they're called, they look at the eggs to see what actually are mature and whatnot. And I retrieved 11 eggs, but only 5 were mature. So they still just hadn't grown enough.
Yeah.
But you can't just keep waiting until they grow, because they'll get overripe basically and they'll not be good either. So it's a very fine balance. So after that, when you wake up, they give you a card of how many you've gotten. I saw 11 and I started crying because I was so happy.
Yeah.
But then I now know that that card means nothing, because that's just what you retrieved is not actually what's mature. And then, the doctor comes in and tells you actually what you froze. And then I was just like, far out. That's a lot. That's like a big 2 weeks to just have. I know it's better than none. I know it is. But it's a lot emotionally and physically to just have 5.
And for your whole focus for those 2 weeks and your whole life for those 2 weeks is that.
Yeah, because you can't really, I mean, you can drink, but you can't really drink. You can't like go out. Like your injections have to be at the exact same time every morning and every night. My second round, I was actually doing 2 injections at night and 1 in the morning, and my trigger wasn't an injection because they found out my first round that the trigger didn't work properly. So that's why I didn't get as many mature ones, because it's just a bit not right for my body. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
But yeah, the second round was far worse. They just tried new drugs and tried to stimulate more. It was way worse. I was feeling so nauseous from like day 3, super bad back pain. And I actually thought it was a good sign, because I'm like, oh,
it's working.
More's happening. But yeah, it was way worse. My trigger injection was at like 11 p.m. at night or something. So I went to bed and woke up and did it, and I passed out on the kitchen floor. I got tunnel vision. I was like, Jack. And he came down and I just had a needle in my tummy. So I feel like pretty full on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you are talking about money as well, how much has each round cost?
Okay. So I'm classified as a medically necessary. Mm-hmm. So you could just go in and freeze your eggs if you wanted to. So but that's not necessary. But I'm classified as medically necessary because of my low egg count. Up front to the fertility clinic. It's $7,290.
So remember, guys, like this is a 28-year-old who previously was living her best life. Finding this out was like $7,000 straight away.
Yeah. Well, saving for a house. I was like, well, okay, well, there goes, you know. So, yeah, $7,200 and then plus your medications, which is about $300-$400. Plus, if you don't have private hospital, which no one at my age would for fertility or reproductive services, without knowing that,
So that's actually, just to specify as well, with private health, that's actually different to like birthing or obstetrics, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's the same cover, but like you need fertility. Top hospital. Yep. So I actually do have it, but you have to wait 12 months. And I'm like, our bodies, like we just can't wait 12 months.
I'm 28.
But I'm like, but in this situation, 12 months could be the difference between me
having a baby and not.
Yeah, or me retrieving eggs or not. Like I could have gone through menopause in that 12 months and I couldn't get any eggs. So I was like, there's just no question. So obviously if you were covered, you wouldn't pay the hospital admission fees. You just pay the excess. But so it's like an extra $1,000. So that's already nearly at $900.
Yeah.
The follow up after that, then the egg storage, you have to pay $500 a year to store them. So, but because I'm classified as medically necessary, I got $4,900 back from Medicare.
Okay.
So out of pocket is about $3,000 per cycle.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you weren't classified as medically necessary and you're just doing it to preserve your future, then yeah, you're looking at it about $9,000 around just for eggs. That's not for embryos.
Yeah. And your entire like education around this ongoing has definitely been the fact that you believe that women need to be testing a lot earlier.
Yeah, well, because then I just went nuts on social. So I was like, everyone go and get this test. It's $90. You can just go to your GP and ask for this test and it's $90. But what I've found is most GPs, so many people came back to me being like, my GP won't let me. And I was like, go back and tell them this is your body, because they all say, no, you don't need to know until you're ready to have a baby. It's like, well, I wasn't ready to have a baby, but if I had tested in 3 years when I am ready, I'm too late.
Yeah.
It's just a joke. So I like all of my friends that not all of them came back and said that, but my friends that did come back and say that, I'm like, change your GPs or just go back and demand it.
Yeah.
Like, I personally think it should happen every time we have a pap smear. Like, why not? What's the harm in knowing this? Yes, they do fluctuate. If you're on the pill, it's not an accurate reading. There's a few things that do change. It's interesting. Mine actually has gone up slightly. It was at 4. It's actually now it's 6, I think, the last time I got it done.
Do you know what does change that?
No, I did ask Lynn that last time. She's like, oh, it's up. It's that's very minor increase, but not sure. I was on the Mirena the first round. It's interesting that you can do retrievals with Mirenas in, by the way. I thought I'd have to get it out.
It's very similar as well to the whole vasectomy thing, because you can go that path after you've had a vasectomy as well, which they do as a day surgery.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I don't have the Mirena in now. I got that out after my second round, just because I was like, I just want to see what my body is doing naturally, because I didn't get a period on my Mirena.
Yeah.
So I just thought, well, let's actually see if this is the Mirena doing it, because 20% of women do lose their period on the Mirena, or if it's actually gone through menopause. At the time, I was like, oh, there's no test, but there is. You can just get your FSH tested and you're meant to be in between a certain level. I can't remember what the actual numbers are. You can just Google it. I'm at the the higher end. It's not indicating that I am yet, but I'm like, they're going to test me every 6 months because I'm, you know, on the cusp.
And then what are the other side effects of that if you do go through early menopause now, other than eggs, fertility, having a baby?
I can still carry a child. I just can't, I won't be producing my own eggs anymore.
Yeah.
So we could still do IVF. I can carry that child. Like, my mum could carry our child. Any woman is just a vessel.
Yeah.
Like, so anyone could, like, well, you are. Like, my mum would just be, like, if she wanted to carry our baby, she could. She's gone through menopause or whatever. But, I do all the usual things that menopause happens. You know, you get the hot flushes, all that sort of stuff. Your period would stop, all that sort of stuff. But I could still carry a baby. Mm-hmm. So there is still that option. But right now I'm just trying to focus out where I'm now. I'm just hoping it's a slow decline for me. I'm assuming within, like, based on my levels, within the next, I'm going to say, year or two, I'm going to be completely through it.
So what is the path? What is the path from here then?
Well, we spoke to, at the start of this year, I was actually going to do we're going to do a round of embryo freezing, which obviously is the sperm and egg, and you freeze them together. There's just a higher chance of that being successful than freezing eggs, defrosting, and then putting the sperm in. But actually Lynn suggested we do not do that because everything else on me looks 100% perfectly healthy. Mm-hmm. And she just told us to bring our plan of having a baby forward a little bit. It's only about 6 months. And if we're not pregnant by a certain amount of, or a certain date that we've agreed with her, then I'll go back and see her and we'll kind of rejig. But her ultimate goal is for me to get pregnant naturally and then cross the bridge when I have to. Because at the end of the day, I am only 28. No, I'm not. I'm 29.
She's nearly 30.
Yeah, I'm nearly 30. But I'm not currently going through menopause, but I am at the higher end. So, you know, anything like 6 months is a really long time for my body, if that makes sense. 6 months for any other normal. And
yeah.
I'm putting up bunny ears. People can't see me. But any other normal ranged woman is not a long time, but it is for me.
And how do you feel that kind of impacts your sex life now with your partner or planning? You know what I mean? Like, is that taking the spontaneity out of it? Is that sort of something that's now no longer like exciting, fresh? And like, how long's that? 1.5 years, 2 years?
Yeah, we're nearly at 2 years. Yeah. It's hard. I found with Jack and so a couple of my friends who are trying, we found that guys just, I feel like they're just uneducated, bless. Like, they don't know about this.
But so are women as well.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, this is what you should be taught in sex ed at school, to be honest with you, not how to put a condom on a banana. What the cycles are doing and whatever. And, you know, if I say to Jack, or, you know, I'm ovulating and these are the days that we need a shag.
Yeah.
He'll be like, what? Like, why can't we just do it? You know, like, yeah. I thought we just could shag anytime, basically. But I feel like in Jack's head, you know, if we have sex tomorrow, we're going to have a baby next week.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of like drilling, you know, if we have sex today, we're not going to have a baby for at least 10 months.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's the whole education thing around it as well, because like we're so conditioned to believe you have sex once, you're going to have a baby.
Yeah. Well, like, movies say that, school suggests that, we're just drilled into it our whole lives to do anything not to have a baby. But it's interesting.
It's funny as well. Like, I know that I always share my Clue app online to normalize these conversations and to be able to have these conversations as regularly as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think apps like Clue are so good at being able to help visualize. Like my Clue app, I sync with Andrew so that he can actually see that.
Yeah.
So that I don't get messy and come in me. Yeah. Oh, wait, sorry, I didn't mean that. Please don't come in me. So then it's like he can literally see
come
my
come on, I'm not in him.
Yeah, you know what I But this, like, I don't know what app you use or what you suggest.
I use Flow, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's a very similar concept. But essentially, like, if you do have daughters, if you are wanting more education, an app like Clue or Flow or whatever it is so, so good. And there is no sort of sponsorship here or anything. Yeah. This is literally the fact that this is what I use. And it becomes intuitive. So after about 3 or 4 months, it can predict when you're ovulating, it can predict when you're getting your period,
data you put in, the more accurate.
And for myself, originally when I downloaded Clue, it was because of my skin. So when I always thought that it must have been hormonal based on the fact of my periods, but it was actually me ovulating. And so that was the key kicker for me, was to actually realize what was happening with my hormones when it was. My skin's the best it's ever been.
Yeah.
So understanding and learning what, and also, guys, I'm about 5 days until my period, so I'm probably going to be a bitch. So heads up.
Thank God I'm flying home.
Yeah. but it's a very good app to be able to visualize that and to be able to learn and educate yourself on what is happening within your bodies. Mm-hmm. Now, what would be your biggest take-home message for women that are at home listening that are perhaps our age? Well,
yeah,
I'm still 30.
30-something. I would say just go and get this test. Like, it's so simple and it doesn't necessarily mean bad things. I've got two friends that have low AMHs as well and they got pregnant on their first and second time trying. So as I try to say with people that have low AMH. Well, this is what I try and drill into myself. It's like, think about it like a classroom. So you might have like, you might have 20 kids in your classroom and they all might be like mediocre kids, right? I might have 5 children in my classroom, but they all might be real smart.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
I want your classroom. Mm, I don't want the 20 kids.
My eggs could be excellent quality, but I just have fewer of them. And you have heaps. Like people with PCOS and stuff, who their AMH is through the roof because they've got a billion follicles, but they're useless, you know? So the more eggs you have, it doesn't necessarily mean you're better off. But yeah, it's a bit of a hard one. You just got to really remember quality over quantity. But it's better to know this sort of stuff. Like if that's in your future, being a mom or being, you know, yeah, being a mum, you need. I feel like this information is so invaluable. There's no harm in knowing this.
Yeah, 100%.
You can't know this information too early.
How many misdiagnoses? Wow, am I even saying that correctly? Misdiagnoses. Anyway, you get what I'm trying to say.
Diagnoses that weren't right.
That were incorrect.
Yeah.
And I'm about to go into a whole other spectrum here. So yes. Just in the area of fertility, eggs, that.
I will just say all of the stuff that led me to get this testing is totally incidental. I was trying to find out what this pain and all of this stuff in my tummy was.
Which I'd like to discuss in a second.
Yeah, which is fully incidental. So none of my – this isn't painful if you have like a low egg count. You don't know. You wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what your egg counts are. I wouldn't know what your egg
counts. And this is why Jess is saying, like, go and get this test done regardless of, like.
You can be the healthiest person in the world. And, I know I follow this one girl online and her AMH is zero. Like, she doesn't have any eggs and she's the healthiest person ever.
Does she still – this is probably, again, like something that I need to be educated on. Would she still get a period then?
She does, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, she does.
How does that work then?
Because your body's like, because you can still have
shedding the lining, not the egg. Yeah.
Because you still, like, you can still have follicles, but there's no egg in them.
Yeah.
There's various different things, but your body's still getting, I mean, it's very complex. If your body's still producing the follicle stimulating hormone, then yeah, your body's still going to work that way. But if you're not producing that FSH, which is basically the follicle stimulating hormone, it means you're gone through menopause, so you won't get a period and stuff. So I think what is hard, actually, do you know, in America they do it differently. So she might just be very low.
Anything under, you know how like with American food labels, it's like anything under 10 grams is zero.
Yeah,
this has zero calories.
Yeah, well, I think.
Does it though, babe?
Yeah, I think that's maybe what it is because they measure it differently over there. So I think it, like for us, it might be like one or something.
Yeah,
it's very low. Like she's doing IVF because she's got no hope.
So when it comes to the pain in your stomach, let's go down this path. So this is now, we're switching topics just a tiny bit here. Where do I start?
Yeah, literally, where do you start?
So Jess obviously works for me. She has for many years.
Yeah.
And Jess, poor Jess, like far out. Like it's been an absolute journey.
It still is. Yeah.
And even this morning I was like, hey, babe, do you want to come up for breakfast? And she's like, nah, my stomach's not good.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
We went and grabbed breakfast before we came in here and Andrew and I ate and she just was like, no, I don't want to eat.
Yeah, just have a juice or something. Yeah.
Can you explain what's kind of happened?
Oh yeah, we're just like
Where do we start? So okay, let's go right back to Noosa. You found that information out.
Oh yeah, so basically I put my stomach pain stuff on hold for basically 18 months to 2 years.
Well, did part of you believe that was what it was?
No.
Nope.
No.
Never.
Because that doesn't cause pain. So I knew it wasn't. Mm-hmm. They originally thought I had like endo or something like that, but my periods were never heavy enough or anything, so I knew it. That's not right either. I'm actually still on the list to get exploratory surgery. They just like to open you up for no reason when they don't have an answer.
I want to explore your insides.
Yeah, keyhole through my belly button. That's pretty cool. But I don't know. I don't know where to start. Basically, it's just like I have like bloating. Basically, anytime I eat, it feels like I'm super full. Like everything, like, I don't know, just really bad cramps, like pain in my lower right side, like super gassy sometimes super not, really bad diarrhea, more recent time. Oh, so I don't know, the end of last year I saw a naturopath because I'm like, I'm going to finally go the natural route. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is like Western medicine and naturopathy hate each other. So it's near impossible to work with a GP and a naturopath at the same time, because that naturopath is talking shit. Oh, what does a GP know? They don't, you know, they don't explore this. It's just like, what the hell? Who do I listen to?
Like, and that was so eye-opening as well. Like, from the outside, Jess went and saw a naturopath and she literally was in tears being like, I have finally been heard.
Yeah.
Someone has actually listened to me and not blown me off. Yeah. Like, I've gone to so many doctors previously and they say, oh, well, that's just this, or you've got IBS, or you've got allergies, or you've got whatever.
Oh, IBS. Yeah. IBS is the answer to anyone that just shits
doesn't
too
know.
Often.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, the amount of times I go to the toilet, sorry, this is gross, it's just actually astronomical. Like, it's not normal. This is what I'm just like, how – I just can't – I'm now at the point where I'm like, I think I'm just going to have to live with this, because I cannot go through any more testing. My last testing I had like a few days ago was a colonoscopy. So I was like, oh. And they're like, no, your colon looks completely normal. We're taking biopsies for microscopic colitis, but, yeah, there's nothing there. I'm actually on now – my gastroenterologist has put me on amitriptyline, which is actually used to be used as an antidepressant, but it's now used to lower nerve sensitivity in the gut and with people with fibromyalgia, I think that's how you say it, which is like basically nerve pain. So basically when I do have a flare up, it's just not going to like debilitate me as much.
Yeah.
Like I might just be like, oh, I've got a niggle or something, rather than just being on the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, in a fetal position. And like, I got to a point where I'm like, I'm just not going out for dinner. I'll come out and meet you for drinks later. Cause I just don't know what would set me off. I've had literally every test under the sun, but this drug has been unbelievable.
And was that from the naturopath or GP?
No, that's from my gastroenterologist. The naturopath did find a parasite, which I did think has changed my bowel habits, but I just don't think that's the answer.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, pretty much all of you guys in here probably have a parasite.
That was a really interesting whole education system as well, because the amount of medication that you were on for that and the whole process of that.
Well, that's the thing.
Did you
save
that as a highlight?
I'm like, oh, actually.
If you go down, I don't know.
No, I will.
If you haven't, yeah, please do, because that was quite interesting also.
Because I was just like, I really liked the naturopath and I really do like her and I'll go back to her for some other things. But I'm just like, every time I saw her, it was $95 plus $300 worth of
meds
every time. And this was like every 3 weeks. I'm like, I'm hemorrhaging.
Do you remember when I went and saw the naturopath?
Oh, no. Do I?
Yes, you do. And
you're looking at me like.
I'm looking at you like I'm never telling this story ever. No one will ever know this story. But that was about my skin. And she was saying that I was not holding on to, I was holding on to too much waste. And so do you remember the inducing white powder to be able to go to the toilet?
Oh, yeah.
That's disgusting. Yeah, it was not a vibe for me, but that was quite expensive. It was $700 a week. And I did that for 3 months because that's how desperate I was about my skin. But that was quite a while ago now. That was like 2019 maybe.
Oh, my God.
And I lasted 3 months.
I'm actually finding this drug has been life-changing so far. But I did say to my gastro after I got out of the colonoscopy the other day, I'm like, do I have to be on this forever? Like, so right now I'm just kind of like, you know what, if I do have to be on this drug forever, then my quality of life is so much better.
Yeah.
And there's a few tests that have been done in Italy and in China. It has been proven that it does significantly reduce symptoms and, symptoms of people with chronic bowel disease. They call it a functional bowel disease.
Mm.
Basically, significantly reduces it. It's never going to take it away, but significantly reduces the pain and discomfort that comes with that. There's just no answer to this. Is what I'm trying to find is why this is happening.
Yeah.
Not like how to treat it. Like whatever. Yeah. Like I don't want another Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good drug. And I've seen a lot of other people say, like with migraines and with, stomach issues and nerve pain, and even some people with some sort of muscular pain. I've got to read more about it, but it's just been life-changing. Like some people have been – there was actually a time period there, I think it was about 2 months ago, where I was in a really bad headspace about it.
Mm.
because I'm like, how am I like, I can't.
How am I going to live?
How am I going to live? I can't look after it if I have a baby. How am I going to look after a child if I'm literally on the couch? Like some days I'm working, and I'm on the couch under a blanket, like with my laptop, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like if I have it, I can't live like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, how do I figure out? Everyone's just like, oh, have you been tested for celiac?
Yeah.
I'm like, are you fucking taking the piss? Like, it's, are you joking?
And that's that, but that's the thing though. Everybody is just doing the best they can with the ability that they have. And like people don't know how to support. Yeah. And that's, I guess, the hardest thing is like when we're like, that's not helpful and actually be like, you know, like,
yeah, well,
express how people can support because it's kind of like you've got that mind reading thing of being like, I don't know how to support you. Well, but yeah, it's funny because it's like, oh, period pain. Oh, that's what it is. You got IBS.
I got this is no word of a lie. I got hospitalized in 2013 on New Year's Eve with my stomach pain. I am not shitting you. The doctor came in and said, you've got ovulation pain. Here's the pill.
Yeah, okay. You've had quite a few medical gaslighting situations where people, where the doctors have literally just been like,
it happened.
Actually, here's a heat pack, babe.
Yeah, here's a heat pack, sweetie. I went in to get some bloods for my naturopath and she's like, I'm going to just test you for celiac. And I was like, no, you're not. I got up and left. I was like, I'm actually not this stupid.
Now, before you came in, you sorry. Asked on your
I'm
Instagram.
I'm fucking fired up. It's so annoying.
She's not celiac, guys. Please don't ask her the question.
Oh, I can still eat bread. At the moment, I am low FODMAP though, but that's also fucked.
Can you please bring up your Instagram? Because what you did before you came in is ask a bunch of questions. Now, there were some really good questions from your followers who did want to know certain things in relation to what you have been through. So I just want to cover quickly a few of those questions because I do think that's quite relevant.
What were some of the symptoms that led you to look further into this? Well, I think I said that before. It was all my stomach issues, like the bloating and the pooing and all of that sort of stuff. But with in terms of the egg freezing, you mean? Yeah. So there are none.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, just go and get the blood test. It's a blood test.
So Jess is literally like, it's a bit like when I did the podcast with Quartz on melanoma and she was like, just go and get a skin check. That's all I want you to do. And then I want you to message me and be like, I got my skin checked.
Yeah.
All Jess wants you to do is go and get your eggs counted and message her.
It is the AMH test, anti-malarian hormone. Please just ask your GP for it. In Victoria anyway, it costs $90 at one clinic and $60 in another, but who cares?
Yeah.
Like if you're going to find out potentially what's going on with you like a few years prior to when you're ready, like how good's that?
Yeah, amazing.
You know? Another one is, can you still get the test if you're on hormonal contraception? You can if you've got the Mirena, but not the pill. The pill does skew it a lot. So you'd need to be off the pill for, I think Lynn said like 2 months prior to getting this, or maybe a month or two. I've got to double check that. But the pill does skew it. So if you got the test with when you're on the pill, it's gonna give you a skew either way, like really low or really high.
Yeah.
So get that done not while you're on that. Have you been getting regular periods? As I said, I didn't get a period on my Mirena, but now, I'm a 29-day cycle baby. It's good.
Okay.
So right now I'm perfect. They are very short though, like 2-3 days.
Yeah.
What prompted you to get it done in the first place? Do you have endo or PCOS? No. Again, stomach issues, whatever. But again, there's no symptom for low egg counts. Is it normal to go and get the test before thinking about conceiving? It's not now, but it should be. As I said to you before, you should get this test every single time you get a pap smear at a minimum. Like, I just don't know why it's not. Like, what? It's not hard. It's a blood test. It's not like you have to like do a stool test or something where it's really hard to do and you have to go home and go back to the, you know, doctors and whatever. It's a simple blood test with every other routine blood test that you get done. Like why isn't this easier? How expensive is the test? Yeah, $60 or $90. They're like the main questions that came through.
Yeah, cool. If you were to give one piece of take home information that you would like people listening at home to follow up on, what is that?
If you feel like you're not being heard at the doctors, push further or change doctors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now at a completely random GP and straight away I went in there crying 2 months ago and he like literally just rubbed my shoulder. He's like, I'm so sorry that you've been treated like this. I'm like, oh, I like started crying more because I'm like, oh my God, you're listening to me. I was like, I'm going to move all my records here. He's like, just calm down. I was like, no.
He's like, I don't want you.
Yeah. But medical gaslighting is something that's not really spoken about much. So if you feel like you're not getting heard to, don't just take that, you know. Like if you know in your gut, I still know in my gut something's not right. Like pun not intended, but I do know something's not right. But just keep pushing. And especially with this AMH, if your GP says, no, come back when you're ready, tell them to get fucked and to do it anyway. Like just say, I'm not leaving until you prescribe this test for me.
Yeah.
Because what there's no harm.
No harm in doing it.
Yeah, don't be medically gaslit because well, that's chronic.
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Now, if everyone at home is listening, where can they find you? Because Jess is so good at being able to give information in a very easy to digest way and understand it and always gives back in relation to the education that she's learnt or you're really good at being able to articulate that in a very easy to understand way. So what is your Instagram handle?
It's Jess_Dyer.
Just two underscores there.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah, she's got all of that saved as her highlights and she'll add the other stuff onto the highlights as well. And she's, yeah, very approachable if you want to ask any questions.
Yeah,
or
for sure. Any questions.
If you've got any feedback other than the fact, are you celiac? I'm sure she'll be open.
Please do not ask me if I'm celiac or dairy intolerant because I will block and delete.
And she will. She's savage. I'd love to continue this conversation further in our closed Facebook group as well. So this week, I think what we'll do in the Flourish and Fulfilled community is just open that conversation up a bit further just for the discussion to be had. And as always on Instagram, Flourish and Fulfilled. But yeah, thanks Jess so much for coming in and I'll chat to everybody next week.
Bye guys.